Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Christmas Eve, and our gospel reading is found in the gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Hear God's holy word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard them wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's easy this time of year to get caught up in the peppermint swirling, lights blinking, commercials blaring, time flying, hustle and bustle of the holiday season. Our to-do lists are endless, and we just don't have the time or the energy to get it all done. Cards to send, letters to write, cookies to bake, briskets to smoke, packages to mail, presents to wrap, lights to hang, trees to decorate, shopping to do, parties to attend. And some of us still have to work. Well, you can sleep in January. Well, oh yeah, yeah. There's also church to attend, God's word to hear. Well, in all the commotion of this season, it's so easy to put aside what seems less important, less tangible. With each passing year, it seems that Christmas becomes less real, less fleshy, I mean. Christmas seems to be more of a quote-unquote spiritual thing, more about lessons of generosity and kindness and family. The Hallmark movies tell us of love lost and love found, the music and lights and the beauty of it all, maybe even that fresh falling snow. In the movies, of course, not actually here. These things, you know, generosity, beauty, love, kindness, are gifts of God, sure, and maybe even make for a happy time and wonderful memories. But they are not the true reason for this festival, nor the true reason and motivation for generosity and kindness. The truth of our celebration, the real heart of the matter, seems to have become something created by human hands instead of this precious gift of God. Sometimes the season takes on a more sentimental flair, you know. You put the oldies streaming on your TV, the eggnog is going, the fireplace is lit, you have the smell of the evergreen tree and the cookies in the oven, you're in your pajama pants, family's all around, and you think, oh, This feels like home. This feels like Christmas. We sip our nog, remembering Christmases past with a great deal of nostalgia. All this to say is sometimes this very real story doesn't seem real to us anymore. I mean, we know Jesus is the reason for the season. We try to keep Christ in Christmas, but it's so difficult with all the noise and hullabaloo. Sometimes the message is lost and sometimes completely corrupted or even exchanged for another. But Luke gives us a couple of gifts here in our gospel reading, among many, that help us ground our faith in truth. Truth that the story that we heard just a while ago is not fiction. It is not myth or fable. What happens there in Bethlehem is true, as sure as true as you are here tonight, listening to this. And that first gift from Luke helps us know that this is indeed a real and true thing. See, that gift is the words Caesar Augustus and Quirinius and the registration of the people. It's Galilee and the city of David called Bethlehem. In these few little words, you find actual places and moments and people. Now, we often just gloss right over these words, but we can look up these people. We can go to these places. You can see and read about them in the history books covered in dust on a university library shelf or on the internet. We know when these men governed and for how long. We know where they ruled and some of the things they did, including in these people, places, and decrees. Luke places the birth of Jesus in a particular time and location coinciding with particular events. And he is doing this for you. Why? Well, Luke tells us in the fourth verse of the first chapter, he writes these things for the very purpose that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. Luke wants you to have certainty and to be sure to have confidence about the things you have heard. And providing these details helps secure the truth of this event in real time and space and in history. This was a real baby, born in a real town, to a real family, in a real country, at a particular time, and we will see through Luke, for a particular purpose. The Savior, the Christ child, comes into the world in the flesh to deal with the very real problems of sin and its consequences, death and the wrath of God. This has been foretold many times in the prophets of old. You heard many of them through Advent. Zephaniah, Malachi, Micah, and Isaiah all point to an actual man who will come to restore Israel, a suffering servant, to make Israel glorious again. He will come to rule and to reign, to free the captives and oppressed. He will come to heal and make new. And now there, in those days, Luke writes, it has come to pass. The Savior is here. The angel, God's messenger, appears to the lowly first, to the shepherds out in the field. He appears, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It must have been an incredible and terrifying sight. The angel tells the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior, the anointed one of the Lord. This is big news. Israel has not only been waiting to hear from the Lord, but they've been waiting for the Messiah, the Savior. After hundreds of years of waiting, finally, he is here. A real Savior for real people to address the very real problems of sin and death and wrath. Yes, your sin and need for a Savior is also real. We often stand there with the shepherds and all of Israel wondering if these promises made to us will ever be fulfilled, wondering if our God is going to do what he says he will do. Will he ever show up and help? We don't always feel this way. Sometimes we are sure and sometimes we are not. There are also days when our thoughts rarely, if ever, turn to God in thanks and praise for his gracious work fulfilling his promise in this baby. We know we have days where the extent of our own sinfulness and idolatry totally escapes us, and our heads fall on the pillow at the end of the day, And we don't give any thought, not even a millisecond of thought, to the filth that came out of our hearts and mouths. Not one thought of the idols we worshiped that day. The truth of the matter is, you and I and all people do need a Savior, whether we know it or not, remember it or not. And there in the manger, we see him in the flesh and blood, promised and fulfilled for you in real time, in real flesh, for unto you means for you. In his telling of the good news of Jesus, Luke provides a kind of framework. This is the second gift tonight in the gospel. It kind of works like bookends that hold his message together. They're small and they're easy to miss, like these historical facts, but he gives them nonetheless, and they are just as important. These bookends are made of cloth. You see, after the angels proclaim the Messiah is here, they give a sign to the shepherds to prove it. They tell them that they will find in Bethlehem a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It was the custom, just as it is today, to wrap the baby in cloths to keep him warm, to swaddle them. And if the shepherds went to town, they would find just as the angel had told them. And they would know that it was true. They would know Christ the Lord was here. And so they went in haste, just as it had been told them. They found Mary and Joseph and a baby wrapped in cloth. Jesus begins his life and work wrapped in these cloths, but it is not the only time he is wrapped this way. If you flip through the Gospel of Luke nearly to the end, you come to chapter 23, and there, you know, there's only 24 chapters. There you'll encounter the burial of Jesus. His work has been accomplished. The Savior has indeed saved all people by giving up his flesh and pouring out his blood, bearing the sin of the world and the weight of the wrath of God against that sin. Once it is accomplished and his last breath is expelled, another Joseph takes Jesus down from the cross and wraps him in cloths once more, lying him down this time in the tomb. You see these little literary gifts Luke is providing you? As Jesus, our Savior, comes into the world, so he goes out, wrapped in cloths and laid in places we should not expect to find a Savior, the Christ, our Lord, in a feeding trough and a tomb. Between these two cloths, we find the great work of our Savior, bringing forgiveness and life into the world, beginning with his birth in those days, at just the right time, and in just the right place, to just the right family. He heals the sick. He brings sight to the blind, he frees the oppressed, lifts the brokenhearted, brings down the self-righteous, proclaims good news to the poor. This is not the last linen cloth in the Gospel of Luke. There is one more. This one is accompanied by angels. Can you remember? On that glorious day, Sunday, the first day of the week, there sat two angels in an empty tomb next to a linen cloth left behind. Why do you seek the living among the dead? They ask. He's not here, but he has risen. The work was done. All things had been accomplished. He was born to save, died to ransom, and was raised to justify. The cloth no longer needed. The work is done. Luke provides these gifts, as I said, two among many to you, to give you and I certainty about what we have been taught, about the one we have come to trust. From his humble birth to his final breath, wrapped in linen for you this Christmas, so that you may have forgiveness and life everlasting, true hope and peace. So take a little time tomorrow and every day to do as Mary and the shepherds did. Treasure up these things in your hearts and ponder them day in and day out. Wonder and marvel at what God has done for you. Praise God and glorify him. Like those shepherds, you have heard and seen and believed. From beginning to end, he has come to save you. Christ our Lord has come. and he will come again. In Jesus' name, amen.